to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live from our studios, which are located right here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Thursday afternoon. And, of course, it being Thursday, we'll be playing a tape message today from Grace Hour founder, host of the broadcast for many years before God called him home into his presence. That would be a message from Pastor Stevens, Pastor Carl Stevens. Again, looking forward to that. His message entitled today is Our Foundation is God's Standard. So we hope you'll stay tuned for the message. And then join us following the message as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and invite our listeners to participate with their comments, questions, testimonies, and your counseling needs. If you should have one, we will again, do our best to counsel you from the Scriptures and your prayer requests, which, of course, are always welcome here at the Grace Hour. And a reminder once again that when you share your prayer requests with us here at the Grace Hour, you're going to be sharing them with folks that are going to be praying for those needs all across the world. So, again, if you would like that kind of corporate prayer for whatever your needs may be, please let us know that either on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or you can give us a call or even email us. Don't forget, you can send us your emails and address them to questions@gracehour.org. But when the phone lines are open, these are the numbers for you to dial so you can join us and participate in the broadcast today on this Thursday afternoon. The toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll-free number, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore, friends, is 410-483-3700. And for those of you that would be joining us outside of North America, you too would dial 410-483-3700. I'm looking forward to having many of you join us live on the broadcast today when those phone lines are open. I want to welcome our local listeners right here in Baltimore and WRBS. On your AM dial, 1230, in particular on your AM dial, welcome to those of you that are joining us on our local station for the first half hour of today's Grace Hour broadcast. Thanks for being with us, and if you have the opportunity, please give us a call as well. And for those of you that would like to join us for the full hour-long broadcast, find a way to transition to the Internet. After our signing off on your local station, you can join us at gracehour.org. That's where the rest of the world is tuning in today and listening, as well as Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and we certainly do appreciate it. We've been talking about standing for truth all week long here in the Grace Hour, and I believe that Pastor Stephen's message today will, again, help us to clarify that position for all of us as born-again believers. We know that we stand in the grace of God in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. But we also stand for truth. And sometimes that comes at a cost, a price that has to be paid. But it's always, always worth standing for the truth. So without further ado, let's turn our attention to Pastor Stephen's message. Again, it's entitled, Our Foundation is God's Standard.
Our foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And I want you to think of it carefully with me, because Paul said that we are co-laborers with God. Every moment we live, we are co-laboring, not with the flesh, but with God. Then he said, you are God's husbandry and you are God's building. He said, grace has been given me to lay a foundation as a wise master builder. Others build thereupon, but take heed how you build. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. You ponder with me in your hearts We have a foundation which is the pure grace of God, which is motivated by the love of God, which experiences the forgiveness of God, wherein comes the cleansing and purging of the guilt of sin and the brand new possibility of newness, not just day by day, but moment by moment. And so as we think of the foundation, God said in beginning, and everything is tied in with Genesis, and God said he would make man in his image, and he took Eve out of Adam and gave Eve to Adam. And the foundation for marriage in the heart of eternity was a man and a woman. And that was the foundation for the marriage. The man was to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the woman was to submit to him. In Ephesians 5, 20 through 25. So, what happened? The foundation became destroyed. Completely destroyed. Homosexuality gets licenses to marry one another and to even get welfare in some cases and adopt children. The foundation is mocked at. Lesbian with lesbian. In Leviticus 18, in Romans 1, 18 to 32, bringing reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ's perfect plan. The foundation is not there. So what do we do? What can the righteous do, those that have the righteousness of God imputed and imparted? The truth is, we've lost our foundation. So what do we have for a structure in marriage? What do we have for a structure for families? We don't have the proper foundation, so two guys can have an adopted boy, or two lesbians can adopt a boy or girl. No foundation, no superstructure for the home, and this is grieving the heart of God and totally and completely making him reject this nation. We don't have anything called consistency in capital punishment. So every year in our major cities, we have over 300 murders. If we would do it God's way, we would clean that almost right up, which is capital punishment, severe penalties that make people think before they ever do it again. But that foundation of Genesis 9, 6 on throughout the Old Testament is gone. Therefore, the crime is in, ever increasing, taking away the freedom of person, property, and rights by gangsters, thieves, drug addicts, and murderers. The foundation is gone. If the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Then we have the Christian foundation for marriages, right here in this ministry. Probably 25% of the marriage is staggering, though together and being sustained and existing. Why? The foundation includes not adding or taking away from the Word of God. The foundation includes grace, not eye for an eye in Matthew 5:38. Jesus said, you say an eye for an eye, but I don't. Instead, in John 1:16, it's grace for grace. There's been an exchange in God's provision for the New Testament believer in the church age, and it's not an eye for an eye. Most of your entire argument will be an eye for an eye. And so you don't get along. But Jesus said, don't do it an eye for an eye, but love them. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Give them love that they've never had. Give them grace that you have received from me. I'll give you the grace. You give it to them. That's your foundation. Grace for grace. Be a good steward of grace on every side in 1 Peter 4:10. That's your foundation. If you go into an eye for an eye, regardless which one does it in the marriage, you have no foundation. And if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And this is what the Word of God says. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. And I must keep it with no private interpretation. Hear me. The scriptures are of no private interpretation in 2 Peter 1:20. Can't add, can't take away, and cannot privately interpret. And so we have this business of worldliness. Listen, your kids don't tell you the standards, and you don't tell them the standards. You tell them God's standards in love. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit of God raises up a standard against him in Isaiah 59:19b, and that standard is every word of God as it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. That's the standard. Now, I want you to think of me. If I'm to live by every word of God, and I'm to preach every word of God, why should you, not that you do in this beautiful ministry, but why should a congregation attack somebody obeying the book and get angry because he preaches the whole counsel of Acts 20:27 because he doesn't accommodate certain exceptions that they want to utilize to sustain Adam's right in lifestyle? Our school has to have standards. Love, forgiveness, grace, restoration, yes, but standards. And marriage has to have standards. Not thinking of another woman, never going out on your partner, not letting it be named once among you in Ephesians 5. That is God's standard. It is not me usurping the authority of a pastor. It's a pastor quoting from the Word of God in love, God's standards. How many understand that? Now, if the Bible says, do not look upon the wine when it's red, when it jumpeth in the cup, I didn't write Proverbs 20:31. If the Bible said there's no leaven in the Passover, there's absolutely no fermentation in the Last Supper, and there couldn't be, I didn't write that. If the Bible said, woe unto you that pours drink in his neighbor's cup, and Habakkuk 2:15, I didn't write that. If the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, I didn't write that. In Proverbs 20:31, the Holy Spirit inspired it to be written, that we may be a man mature, thoroughly furnished unto what is good before God. Listen, in friendship, we cannot remove ourselves from the standard. The standard is, a friend is born for adversity, and he loves at all times in Proverbs 17:17. When his friend sins, he covers and doesn't repeat the matter and goes lovingly to restore them in Proverbs 17:9. His charity ends up not failing. I love some letters I got from Wednesday night. A young teenager in high school wrote in and said, I went home and I've been secretly in pornography. And I've been secretly also into hard rock music. My parents don't approve of it. And when you preached upon my potential, I went in my bedroom and wept and said, forgive me, God, I repent. And he writes me this letter and signs his name. Then a woman wrote me a letter. She said, I've been partially obeying my husband for 14 years. I've rebelled against him. I've never seen his potential. And now I see his potential. And I went home tonight and embraced him and loved him and asked forgiveness for never building him up, not being a helpmate, and not seeing his potential. And she said, thank you. I'm so free. It's so easy when you do it God's way. And what is God's way? Love, mercy, and grace. And seeing each other's great potential. Let's never be removed from the foundation of friendship. That's why the Bible says, never leave your father's friends. Because if you do, you'll go against your father. See, that's being removed from the foundation of family, marriage, love, honor, esteem. Don't be removed from the foundation. As we go out in the world, and we naturally have to go out in the world. But Jesus said he was hated by the world in John 15:18 because he testified of its evil in John 7:7. He accused the disciples of not being hated because they wouldn't deal with the evil of the world. I've seen that happen a lot in my years. Love not satanic system nor anything that's in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God the Father is not in him. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is of the world. They're not of the Father. The world and its fashion. I hate it when a guy wants everybody to be like Hollywood and France in fashion. You know why? Because fashion passes away. Listen, I'm for heavenly fashions. I'm for divine fashions. I'm for godly, modest apparel. And thank God for the women that agree with me in this beautiful ministry. Hey, the real stars are Christians that go out soul winning, and they shine forever and ever as the stars of heaven in Daniel 12:3. Hey, listen. We'll pass by Hollywood while God's people are stars and stars with glorified bodies, reigning with Christ, loving Christ, perfect in the perfect. Cheap Hollywood movies. Cheap Hollywood movies. Entertaining the Christian's flesh, because the Christian doesn't want to grow in the spirit and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when you live in the flesh, you got to be. Can't be bored, so you got to have your flesh accommodated. We can't remove from the foundation. Let's have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the convictions of God, the standard of God, the purity of God, the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, the joy of God, the direction of the Word and Spirit. Let's have all these attributes of God be our foundation. Now listen to this verse in Proverbs 10:25. A whirlwind takes the wicked away, it says in the Hebrew, but it says the righteous shall be an everlasting foundation. The righteous. Listen, I have a foundation, then I become a foundation for my wife. I become a foundation for my children. I become a foundation for my church. I become a Jesus Christ is my foundation. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about all of us. We become a foundation for soul winning. We become a foundation for body life. We become a foundation for prayer. We become a foundation for consistent Christian living. Our lives become a foundation even when people treat us wrongly. Our lives become a godly foundation of gold and silver and precious stone. Therefore, when the day comes at the Bema Seat, because we built properly on the foundation of Christ, we receive a reward. The others have a fire sale up in heaven. And everything, they're saved by fire. They're saved as by fire. But they have a fire sale, and everything they've done is burned up in the Supreme Court of Heaven right before their eyes. How'd you like to see that? No wonder it says they'll be ashamed for a season, for a moment, in 1 John 2:27, 28. Listen, this church will continue to stay by its foundation. Our K through 12 foundation. K through 12 college, right foundation, right teaching, right thinking, love, mercy, taking care of the process of the structure. We are building a structure on that foundation. We want it to be a superstructure. We want to be accepted in the day of the Bema Seat and receive a reigning reward forever. And I want to present you in heaven, and so that Jesus Christ will give you at the Bema Seat an amazing reward for your loving stewardship of grace and for never being removed from the right foundation. You know what's the trouble with politics? The foundation is gone. Morality's gone. Righteousness is gone. Justice is gone. Liberalism lies, and conservatism doesn't have the right policy. You didn't think I'd say that. Well, I'm bold. I don't think it does have. It's just got a lot better than they have, that's all. Oh, I can't wait for Jesus to reign from Jerusalem. Man alive. If the foundation be destroyed. Now, I want you to make decisions this morning if you need to. And if you don't, God bless you. Just say amen, hallelujah, shucks, and go home. Now, I want you to make decisions that you, as an individual, whatever it is, are going to honor this sure foundation and lay up for you in the years to come in 1 Timothy 6:19. Isaiah 28:16 says, I am laid a chief cornerstone, a true stone, a pure stone, and a sure foundation in Zion. God said, and he that believeth shall not make haste, because it's a sure foundation. I don't want to build my house upon a sand in Matthew 7:26, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds came, and the house fell. I want us to build our homes and houses and families upon the rock in Matthew 7:24, and the rains descend, and the floods come, and the winds beat upon it, and it stands because it's built upon the rock, Christ Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 10:4. Let's not be removed from the rock and have an amazing superstructure. And let's be witnesses in all the world and love, thanking God for all the ministries that believe that Christ is the answer. All of them in the city, pray for them 2 or 3 times a day and thank God for them. And thank God that we can co-labor with God and co-labor with other Christians and impact an entire world. Isn't that amazing?
Well, there's the conclusion of today's message, friends. Our foundation is God's standard. And again, if the foundations are removed, what will the righteous do? Well, those foundations might be removed, but we, as God's righteous ones, we will not be moved. And we will stay true to God's foundations, which are immovable, unshakable, even in a world that would like to see them all removed and taken away. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. We trust you enjoyed today's message from founder of the broadcast, Pastor Stevens. Some great thoughts that he shared throughout that entire message, and we can review those and rehearse them if you like, and waiting for you to weigh in. Of course, the phone lines are now open. This is a great opportunity for you to share with us what was it that touched you in that message, what statement or statements spoke to your heart, and again, take this opportunity. Phone lines are now open, 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number in all of North America. So wherever you are listening to the Grace Hour in North America, you can call us toll-free, 800-338-7060. And if you're in the Baltimore area, friends, give us a call at 410-483-3700. And those phone lines are now open. This is a great time to call us in. Of course, the second half hour coming up quickly, and we'll dedicate that second half hour to your phone calls as well. It may be a comment, perhaps a question, a counseling need, a testimony. We're looking forward to having you join us on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. And I love those statements. Well, one of them was, we must have these standards. We cannot relax these standards. And just to rehearse what he said some of those standards are, you know, I just love the fact that he brought out that we have a conviction. It's a standard for us that wine is a mocker, and we stay clear of a strong drink. And then think about it, our standards in the world that we live in, the Word of God, the grace of God, purity, God's wisdom, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And again, if these become our foundation, and they are, we have in Proverbs 10:25 an everlasting foundation. And you had to appreciate, as he was speaking about the world's stars and Hollywood's stars, I love the statement, God's people are the real stars. And those that turn many to righteousness, they will shine as the stars forever. Just a great message today, friends. Inspiring, because it reminds us that, again, we do have a foundation. It is, of course, Christ Jesus himself. He said that. He said that Jesus is my foundation. And again, we build on that foundation. And what about the statement that some will have a fire sale in heaven. He's talking about believers, their friends, who when they stand before God and are evaluated for the works that they did in this lifetime, and that will be an evaluation based upon the fire that will, again, consume everything that was wood, hay, and stubble, and all that individuals might have done while here on the earth as believers could be consumed if they were not functioning in the Spirit, not motivated by the love of God, and again, not doing what they did motivated by God's great grace. So some tremendous thoughts on this Thursday afternoon, friends. Would love to hear what you have to say and what your thoughts are. Again, the foundations that we believe in, yes, we heard they are mocked at, and there's much reproach that's brought upon God's people and God's foundations, God's plan. I love the fact that he brought out the foundation for marriage was a man and a woman. Today, you hardly find people that are willing to courageously stand up and even make that statement because it's not politically correct. Well, Pastor Stephen said, this is God's foundation. It has not changed. And because his foundation hasn't changed and God hasn't changed, well, guess what? We don't change. But again, we stand on the foundations of God. Because if those foundations are removed, wow, well, what will the righteous do? They will stand on the foundations of God just the same. The world can turn their back on those foundations. We continue to stand upon them. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we'll wrap things up here in just a couple of seconds. That is the conclusion of our first half hour. Another half hour is coming your way. We invite you to join us. The phone lines are open. So please take this opportunity, fill up those lines. Let's hear from you. What about those foundations? Are they still existing in your life? Are they still existing in your church? Let's talk about it. 800-338-7060, toll free, and locally 410-483-3700. And for those of you that have to leave us, God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. And we're back live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. A great opportunity to join us as the phone lines are open. We would love to have you fill up those lines. And please, if you're thinking about joining us, don't hesitate. Go to your phones immediately and fill up the lines and weigh in. Your thoughts are welcomed. Your questions welcomed. Testimonies, counseling needs, prayer requests, all and that. And, of course, anything that you'd like to share with us, well, we're open to your phone calls. Take this opportunity and fill up the lines. Pastor Schaller's joined us in the studio, and we're ready to go on our end. We're just waiting for you, friends.
Yeah, we had a great time last night thinking of how we could imagine a more perfect world, but it's not the way it is. And yet, the world that is coming is perfect. We read that in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. It is achievable only through Christ. Christ did it. But we could say, why is there evil in the world? Well, the free will is really the reason. The one reason, the real reason for evil in the world is the free will that God gave man and the devil, the angels. He gave them free will. They could choose. A third of the angels fell, human race fell, and God redeemed not the fallen angels, but he redeemed man by sending his son. This is incredible. And so we have a world coming without the pain and without the evil one day. And right now, it's a life of faith. We live by faith. That's the way it is. By faith. The ministry that Dr. Stevens was speaking regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we read in the Bible, has many sides to it. And One of them, which is important in the world that we are living in, is conviction. Where does it come from? How can you have conviction? Well, I always think of, I don't have the conviction in myself. The world is confused about what is right and what is wrong. And many times my friends or my family can also not have conviction. Therefore, we have discussions and opinions, and people have there are many voices, but we should go deeper and just ask God for truth and for truth to be in our heart. And so we listen to the preaching of the Bible, that we read the Bible and look for truth. Even if we don't like it, I want to know the truth. And Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's his person. The Holy Spirit, he left, but I send another who is like me. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. And so there, that's where our conviction comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, you know the subject well. That a person without conviction can be born again, and the Spirit of God start to teach him, and he gets persuaded. Let's talk about that.
That whole process of sanctification, when that begins in the life of the believer following his or her new birth, that's a powerful process, and it is a process. It is something that happens and occurs over time, but, you know, we're going to stand in contrast to the lack of conviction that we find in the world that we're living in. And more we're going to be challenged to do what we're talking about this week on the Grace Hour, which is to stand for truth. When you see that happen today, maybe 20, 30 years ago it wasn't the case, but now there's a price that you have to pay. There's a lot at stake if you stand up and you share publicly what you believe, because there's such incredible political correctness, and you could be canceled in a moment's notice, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you're an athlete, I mean, a politician, could be any field, you could be canceled in a moment. But I like the fact that there are still believers today that have these convictions, settled beliefs in their soul. And their attitude is, I'll pay that price. It doesn't matter. I'm not moving from my convictions, because the convictions, they come from the Word of God. They come from God.
Mm-hmm. So we have we see it in the press. We see it in the media, the conflict between people that have a more traditional sense of life, and they want it. The people that have broken away from a traditional, let's say, two-parent family, you know, husband and wife together raising a family, which is the traditional, historical, traditional model, whether it's a white family or a black family. Years ago, I have a statistic in front of me, 80% of African-American families were two parents. But it's changed. 80% have today. On the day Martin Luther King, let's see, at the time of Martin Luther King Jr., nearly 80% of black children were born into two-parent families. Sadly, in my lifetime, we have seen the black community transform from 80% two-parent families to 80% fatherless homes, without one national initiative to reverse the trend. Like in our nation, do we want to reverse that? Can we help reverse that? But it's similar with white families. Yeah. The numbers are maybe not exactly the same, but we see our culture going in a direction, and like maybe not saying the things that need to be said. Like, what about virginity for young people? Like, nobody talks about that, but that's actually birth control, right?
Sure.
And also allegiance to your boyfriend to get married and not you know, and stay together? Like, what about staying together? What about forgiving? So these are things that we can talk about in the church and amongst believers, because we have somebody helping us, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He will help us, like, not live in reaction, but to live in love and, like, try to work on solving our problems and raising up families that are going to be, you know, be persuaded. It doesn't mean that a Christian will raise a good family. I don't mean that, but we have a chance by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit, by the local assembly, the local church, to teach those things that can help us stay away from drugs, away from alcoholism, away from violence, away from murder, away from being a thief or stealing and lying. And it sounds like I'm maybe a little bit, you know, I don't mean this to condemn anyone. I am very happy to know people that believe this way. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Amen. It goes without saying that Christians face the same challenges that those in the world that are not Christians are facing. But as you said, we have help. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the community of faith, the body of Christ. We're putting ourselves and placing ourselves on purpose by our choice, and to listen to a message that can heal and help and provide forgiveness, restoration, and reconciliation. And that's a huge advantage over those in the world that are not believing God. I mean, we're not surprised at the staggering statistics when we hear about what's happening with the foundations of those in the world. But we get a little concerned, obviously, when those same statistics start to show up in the church. Why do you suppose, Pastor Shella, that is the case? It used to be, for instance, a dramatic difference between the divorce rate in the world as opposed to the divorce rate among Christians. But we've seen that divorce rate among Christians steadily grow. What's happening?
Well, we got to go from the conviction. I think a personal walk with God could be lacking, that people could go to church, but then do they have a personal walk with God? Not always. It's tough, but maybe that could be part of it, that I don't have what I need in order to make my marriage work and to stay in the game and be forgiving and prayerful. And, you know, it's hard to say, but there definitely is a disconnect when the church is very similar to the world and what is happening. But I do think there are differences. There are churches where you do see a big difference, that believers are salt and light. There really is a difference between them and the world. But, you know, we're talking about numbers. We don't have the numbers in front of us, but we've heard those numbers before. But I also would like to say that that God is faithful and God is speaking to the believer and leading them to stay in the game, to forgive. We had one story where this woman was married 60 years, and she said, there was a time in our marriage, this is what they're at one of their anniversary celebrations, the married couple were able to say something, and the woman said, you know, I have to say that there was a time when I hated my husband. I just hated him. And that lasted for about 6 years, and then it changed, and I fell in love with him again. But so there's a 60-year period of time in the marriage, And for a period of time, she hated him, but she stayed in the game and ended up loving him again, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we are too quick. Maybe we don't have the conviction in our heart. And, I mean, to be honest, it can be really very hard to be loving and forgiving and also to kind of have a more sober and realistic understanding of what marriage is. It's not all romance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great statement, you know, stay in the game. But you hear so often about, you know, athletes, and sometimes they're mic'd up. You know, you can hear what they're saying to their teammates when, you know, a terrible play has happened and they've turned the ball over or it looks like the game is over. And then they say to each other, hey, there's another quarter left. There's plenty of time left. We can turn this around. What are they saying to each other? Stay in the game.
Yeah.
Because it would be easy to go over to the bench, throw your helmet down in the field and say, it's over.
Well, you're a Patriots fan, so do you remember when Tom Brady and the Patriots came back to win the Super Bowl?
Yes,
what, I sure 28 do. Points behind or something?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
I forget, who did they play?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
In the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And I remember seeing the owner of the Atlanta Falcons come down to the field in the third quarter just to prepare for the on-field celebration, and it looked like they were going to celebrate. But in reality, they turned that around. They won that game. It was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. You got to stay in the game. Like yeah. you said, I mean, I think of my own in-laws. They were married for 74 years.
What?
Was it 74 years of bliss? No, it was not. As their son-in-law, I can tell you that. It wasn't. And they would say it too. But they stayed in the game. And
yeah.
that means so much because you don't know what can happen. You don't know what breaks may come your way, what good things can happen, even when at any moment it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we have Dave joining us from up in South Bristol, Maine. David, thanks for joining us on the Grace Hour. What are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I don't know how it'll go on this cheap cell phone, but yeah, the longer I live, the more I become concerned about my wood, hay, and stubble and... And I guess that's going to take place at the Bema Seat, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to my pain management specialist, a very nice psychologist, some time ago, I guess a year ago, and I tried communicating to him that when the great revivals took place in many cities, that the police departments had nothing to do, and the judges had nothing to do. And the crime rates just dropped right through the bottom. And the next time I talked to him, apparently he had checked into it because at first he had no overarching spiritual concept at all. And he said he did now, and he thanked me for showing him that. So just thought I'd mention that.
Mm. You know, in the message that we heard from Pastor Stevens, he said something interesting. I don't know what year he preached that message, but he said, you know, in major cities across the country, there's over, you know, annually 300 murders. I mean, he was right on the mark. I don't know how many years ago that message was preached, but he's right on the mark. And, you know, we like Dave is saying, you know, the policemen didn't have a lot of activity going on. The judges were not, their courtrooms were not filled with crimes and those who committed them. And even we hear this from physicians and doctors in hospitals. They say, you know, people that have a faith, people that believe, people that pray, he says they are often healed and they get out of the hospital quicker than those that don't have faith and don't pray.
You know, last night we kind of celebrated John Nielsen's recovery from COVID, and he was in very rough shape. I mean, he checked into a patient first.
He may be speaking to the country.
When he was very sick, he decided to go to patient first. Well, he was so sick that they called an ambulance and sent him to Franklin Square. And then he was treated and 40 days later out. So he recovered. He's one of those blessed people. And we were praying.
Yeah.
And earlier, Dan Sergioni, another one, I think 55 days in the hospital and out. And, I mean, he was very rough shape. So there's two testimonies in our congregation of what I would say would be were answer to prayer.
Yes.
I have no doubt about it that God answered our prayers with that. So, in which way does prayer affect a community? When does it affect affect a family? Affected a guy working at a job? Well, this is very encouraging that prayer. Jesus prayed when he was baptized. He prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. He prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed on the cross. He prayed when he called the 12 disciples in Luke 6. He woke up early in the morning in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He spent time in prayer. And he's the Son of God.
Mm.
He's without sin. He's the Son of God. But he had times of prayer. And I think there could be Christians that get up in the morning, they don't pray, they just go to work.
Mm.
They come home and just dive into bed at night without any. There are prayerless Christians.
Mm.
And I just know that what we just heard in this message and what we're talking about is our country has a great need for God. We need God. We really don't need so much religion as much as we need God. We need Christ in our hearts and in our lives, and to love our enemy and love people that are different from us, and to care about them and help them raise their family and teach their children and help them in life.
Mm, amen. If we keep thinking that the answers are going to come from Washington, we're kidding ourselves.
No, it's crazy. You know, throw money at everything. The need is money.
Yeah.
We need money. We need money. We need money. No, we don't need money. We need God. We need God. Yeah. We need God.
That's right.
Yeah.
We need those foundations again. And boy, when that happens. And we're believing God. You know, it's interesting because sometimes I find myself thinking exactly as you just stated, Pat, we need God. Yes, we've got to get back. We've got to have a revival. And yet, at the same time, we also understand this principle that's biblical, that we're going to be moving ever closer to the end of an age. So how would you balance those two? In other words, we want to see change. We want to see God move. We want to see revival. We want to see our country turn back to God. But yet, we know that's not the way things are going to pan out as we move ever closer to Christ's return.
Okay. Yeah. But all through history, there's always a downward direction. But we really don't, I mean, do we, like Jesus knew that there was trouble in Jerusalem and coming to Israel eventually. He knew, but it didn't stop him from his ministry and his care for the person next door or the multitude gathered to hear him. They have to go home. We have to feed them. So his compassion and care was motivating him. So I think that because we know things are going in a downward direction doesn't mean that I want to go down the drain with it. I want to have a personal relationship and go against that. I mean, I want to pray. I want to love my neighbor. I want to start a church, teach the Sunday school. I want to hand out tracts. I want to be street preaching. I want to make a phone call. I want to invest in others because, you know, this is where we're living.
Mm. You can still have that spiritual optimism, even though you know that time, you know, is coming to an end. I think of a good friend of ours who ran the St. Paul's Mission House in Midtown Manhattan for many, many years, a wonderful, amazing man of God, Pastor Creighton Dunlop. And he just served God his whole life in that great city, ministering in so many different ways. And towards the end of his life, he had a terrible stroke that left him unable to move. So he was hospitalized, and he asked the folks at the Mission House to bring a stack of gospel tracts and to put them beside his bed. And he said that every visitor, every guest, every nurse, every doctor, when they went into the room, he would just utter these same words, "Take a track. Please take a track." Yeah. He couldn't do anything else, and he knew he was going home to be with the Lord, but he was still evangelizing right to the final moment.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it was a wonderful man of God. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pastor Duke up in Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke, welcome. Hi,
Hello?
Sir. Are you there?
Oh, hi. I didn't hear any mention of my name. It just popped on. Hey, what a great message. I was thinking, Pastor Schaller, or Pastor Love, you just asked about, you know, what are we to be doing? And, you know, I kept thinking of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right, verses 6 and 7, where it speaks of the restrainer, the Holy Spirit. He's restraining the evil so that the lawless one can't be revealed, right? And he's living in us, so we are part of God's restraining force, as you guys mentioned earlier about being salt and light. And I kept being reminded in Dr. Stevens' message all the times that he would preach about, you know, the church being God's method of holding back judgment on a society. And I just think it's so great to know that in this time that we're living in, that we could go up any second. But until then, we are yoked up with the restrainer ourselves. He's restraining sin in our own lives, but he's using us as his restraining force on this earth through the gospel and just living by faith, Pastor Shaw, like you said a minute ago. Isn't that awesome?
It sure is.
It is. It is. It's I think it's sinful to think that, okay, Jesus is coming back, I'm going to be raptured, and, you know, there's nothing I'm going to do. I'm just going, you know, it's going down. It's going down. Where is the faith? Where is occupy till I come? Use your talents, right? Invest. You've got 5 talents or 3 or 1. Invest them. Use them. You don't know. It's like giving up in a war. You know, you can't do it. As Pastor Love said, you know, giving up in a game. You know, it's like a way out is to quit. It's to quit. It's like, you know, that, no, the rapture, we have no idea. I mean, I have both views on it. I think Martin Luther said it this way: if I knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, I'd plant a tree. You know, I'd plant a tree. Meaning, it's not going to change my perspective of the future. It's not going to change my motivation. I'm going to do what I would do anyway. You know, what I would do anyway is live with these convictions in my heart and try to win souls. You know, the opioid addictions, the alcoholism, the crack cocaine, the murder in the streets, the lawlessness. What does all this mean? It means there's a harvest. It means there's opportunity. It means that some people will be listening. It means it's an opportunity to invest and care. And so that's where we're at. It's an important time right now.
Amen. Pastor Duke, we've got to move on. Got other callers. Thank you for joining us.
Jenny, go ahead. Jenny Perry.
Jenny, welcome. You're on the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller. Two things I was thinking of when Pastor Love, you posed that question to Pastor Schaller. And one was, Pastor Schaller, you've been speaking a little bit about Calvinism and the part of the free volition. And this thought for the last two or three days has really grabbed me that, my gosh, we have this supreme privilege and opportunity to thrill the heart of God by choosing to respond in faith to his offer of eternal life. It's like the greatest privilege that we would never want to have taken away from us. And I love it that the Lord made a plan so that that we would have to choose to say yes or no to him. And how sad he is when someone says no, but how can you imagine infinite delight when a sinner so trusts his character that he'll say, yes, I receive it, though I don't deserve it. So that was my first comment. But the other one was what about this being on earth and not knowing when the rapture comes. I was thinking that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only opportunity that we have to live by faith is on the earth. So it's like right up until the moment of the rapture, we can just bring him so much pleasure by choosing to live by faith. And it doesn't really, I mean, yes, it matters, but it doesn't matter in light of what I'm saying. It doesn't matter when he's coming, because just so I have that witness in my heart that I'm living by faith, and that faith is pleasing him and bringing him delight. So really, in both situations, it's like it's all about pleasing the Lord. Yes, we're occupied with the horizontal. We have to be, but ultimately it's, oh, Lord, I want to take advantage of what I have now to bring you pleasure up to the absolute last nanosecond.
Mm. Well said.
It's a kind of a cool, it's a neat way to look at life on earth. You know, it helps me anyway not to get subjective about when he's coming. You know, does this really matter that I'm doing this? And so it's just something I wanted to, some thoughts that were on my heart.
Beautiful. Just keep walking by faith. That's all that matters.
Yes.
Jenny, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Well, we're out of time, friends, so we sure appreciate those of you that were able to join us and those of you that were listening and watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Hope you'll make plans to join us then. Until then, may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.